genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rain, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face. Social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre from rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. I had a bit of a technical problem there getting in. Welcome to the show. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. That's a little network on the internet. And today is, what, the 2nd of it of, 2nd of May? Yeah, it is so. It's cool and raining here. And I see in other places it's even cooler and snowing, so that's pretty good. So, I was making an attempt to clean out my Facebook a little bit today, and I think I did a pretty good job last night and today. I'm still, well, I'm down 3, but I put some anti-Jewish stuff in my Facebook today, and one guy threatened to have me shot, and which I didn't think was very nice, but you know how Facebook is and all the rest of the internet. So I lost a lot of followers, people that like Rock the Boat Radio, and I had a bit of a run there where my numbers were going down pretty quick, which is fine with me, but I do this every now and again just to try to clean some of these lunatics out, and but I'm still doing pretty good. I'm a little bit down, but comparatively speaking to the number of dislikes I had and the number of return likes I had, I'm doing okay. I don't know what everybody got. Everybody's and I've lost some of the Facebooks I used to post to for a long time. I guess I'm not welcome anymore. And that's the problem, because you shake this stuff out, right? You find out basically most of the internet, make no mistake about it, most of the internet is what you call controlled opposition. You can have a very vigorous debate or postings as long as you stay in a very narrow band. Once you get outside that band, it's that cultish nonsense. Once you start to shake the cult and get the cult to think, then they got to get you the hell out of there. So there's more than a few. Well, there's a fair few now. Facebooks that I apparently can't post to any longer, which is fine. Just the way it goes. So I just put this thing in Facebook last night, and I got a lot of weird comments and stuff, right? Like, you're an idiot. Okay. This is all bull crap. Okay. This is all wrong. Okay. None of it based on anything. Just this, you know, the left, they can't debate and they just shoot garbage out. So I found this picture and it says, who are the Jews? So I thought, well, this will work. It's time to shake it a little bit. So it just got a list of stuff here, like who invented communism, or we invented communism. We're behind radical feminism. We're behind multiculturalism. We're behind anti-Christianity. We're behind one world government. We're the divide and conquer group. We are the race baiter and the slave trader. We are censorship of free speech and the truth. We are dual citizens with loyalty, not to your nation. We are the reason your daughter has low self-esteem and desperately dresses like a whore. We are the Federal Reserve, Wall Street, central banking, and big corporate money. We are usury, fractional reserve lending, world currency, and fiat money. We are AIPAC, NAIR, BLA, ACLU, ADL, NAACP, CPLC. We are the MSM, Hollywood, tabloid journalism, and pornography. We are the corrupt judicial system that frees the guilty, imprisons the innocent. We will defraud your country without conscience or consequence. We are your last, your current, and your next war. We are anti-gun. We are open borders. We're eminent domain. We're military-industrial complex. We're the unregulated nuclear state. We are an international terrorist. We are rewriter of history to my advantage. We are war by way of deception. We are the aggressor, yet always the victim. We are the eternal radical. Who are we? Were the Jews stupid? Now that caused me the loss of quite a few likes on my Facebook right away. But what I wrote at the top was, the Jews are the internationals, they're internationalists, and that's absolutely true. That's what they are. That's what the UN is, internationalist. That's what Rockefeller said he was accused of. And that if that's what he's accused of, he stands guilty and he's proud of it. They are the internationalists. There is an international group for everything. You name it, there's an international group for it. The police chiefs in your hometown are members of the international police chief. Your military is members of an international military. Your schools, your hospitals, your licensing, everything. It's all internationalized. It's all about control. And those who control feed off of those they control. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, people say, well, it's not really the Jews, it's the Akanasi Jews, or it's the Zionists. I don't give a shit, right? Just call it the Jews. It makes it easier. They want to say their wars cost hundreds of millions of lives and their quest to create the UN and Israel. They are now moving Islam into the West. Why? It's a final blow to Christianity, which is the basis of our Western society. It's always been about world domination. Western nations are controlled by the Jews. they don't have the numbers to push Christianity out on their own. There's only so many Jews. So bring Islam to the West to do the job. I wanted to say, if you don't like what I say, you don't know any history. Canada is a member state of the United Nations and is doing the bidding of it. The plan is to destroy nation states, and that is what we're witnessing. It is time to stand and protect our nation, show respect for our forefathers, and protect the future of the children. This is a spiritual war, a war we must win. The politicians are pushing the international agendas upon us and are guilty of the highest order of treason. Now, I'm not exactly sure what pissed everybody off so badly on this. It's pretty straightforward stuff. But they did get some antsy. So what I thought I would do is, as I posted the same thing again, because the people are leaving comments. What are you talking about? The Jews? It's the Muslims. Well, you know, who are the Semites? The Semites are the Jews and the Muslims. Oops. Those are the Semitic tribes. Those are the Semitic. That's the Semitic language. Is the Jews, the Arabs, the Assyrians, of who we are apparently importing like a pig. And so people got all pissed off and excited. So what I thought, okay, maybe I can get these people to understand a little better. So I went and I posted the same thing again, only this time I added some pictures to it. So I got a picture of Trudeau doing his Muslim thing with a whole bunch of Muslims on the floor. But then I also put a picture of Trudeau in with his little Jewish beanie cap on with a whole bunch of Jews. I don't see any pictures of him any Christian. This to get them to understand that these are the two players. And they work together, the Jews and the Muslims. And I put a picture in here of, because a lot of people think that Harper was a great prime minister. Not. They're all puppets. So I put a picture in here of Canada Foreign Affairs with the NDP leader, McNair, whatever his name is, not important, and Harper and Trudeau. And they look exactly like the three freaking stooges. Then I got a picture of Wynne in here, Winnie the Muslim, Kathleen, I'm a dyke, and I like to wear Sharia or Islamic clothing. These people are not just stupid and puppets. They're damn dangerous because they're stupid and they're puppets. You know, so we got a nice picture of our immigration minister, which is a Muslim, with their arms around each other, Trudeau and an immigration minister. And then I put a picture in here of, there's the mayor of Calgary, who is a Muslim. I don't know who that guy is. Then we got this guy that looks like the Smurf. He's one of the Muslim IAMs or whatever. So who's sitting on this table with all these Muslims? Why, Prime Minister Harper. Oops. And we all seen pictures of, and here's another picture of Harper shaking hands with the doofuses. And then we have our Prime Minister with that dumb little weasel Muslim that got into Parliament and brought us the M13, the Islamophobia situation. And this picture from Henry Ford, the international Jew, the world foremost problem, volumes 1 and 2, which I'm going to have to read. I haven't had time to read that yet. And then there's another shot here of Henry Ford. There is nothing that the international Jew fears so much. Nothing the international Jew fears so much as the truth, or any hint of the truth about himself or his plans. And I think that's brilliant. You know, so I was being jacked over for anti-Semitism and that. So, you know, I said, all right, what is that? Right. So I put another post And after that, which is, I can't remember what her name is right now. Where did I have that? Whatever her name is. She's that little Jew. You'll know her when you see her. Picked up multiculturalism. You know, this is a transformation of Europe, and Europe is not going to be monolithically white. It's going to be whatever we make it. And a lot of people are going to be not happy with the Jews because of our involvement in this, right? See, the Jews want to be the master race. Make no bones about it, okay? So they want to turn us all into mutts, crossbreeds, inbreeds. They're the inbreeds. But they want to kill our bloodlines because they believe they're the superiors on the planet. And, of course, they're not. They're just as crazy as the freaking... They're all inbred and they're all nuts. You know, Jews have a large role in multiculturalism / genocide of the West, of which Muslim invasion is part of, but not going to happen in Israel. Now, in this particular video, she starts out, and then it's about the Israelis being pissed off about these immigrants that are in their lands. So they put a damn quick stop to it. And then they cleansed their state, land they stole. So everybody else is supposed to be full of immigrants and migrants from all over else, half acre, except Israel. Oops. So people better wake up and wake up quick. You have been deceived by the tricksters. The politicians, meaning all parties involved, are the puppets helping to destroy our nation. There's a battle between good and evil. I suggest it's time the good men and women stand and remove the evil from our land. Now, I've been accused, I don't know how many times since I put the first post up last night, of being of anti-Semitism. Now, I could sound like Rockefeller at this point, and I said, you know, I've been accused of anti-Semitism. And if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. Now, a lot of the left and that would take that not too well, but when you look up the definition of anti-Semitism, what does it say? One who seeks by political or other means to lessen the commercial, political, or social influence of the Jews. Well, then I'm guilty. I want them out of here. I don't want them controlling their health care. I don't want them controlling our schools. I don't want to control our banks. I don't want them controlling nothing in our land. That's our job, not their job. But they're tricky little buggers. And they're like the weasels and the foxes at the hen house. And the roosters have kind of wandered off somewhere else and haven't guarded the house. And everything important is run from behind the scenes by these people. So, if you're accusing me of anti-Semitism, fine. I don't have a problem with that. Because I'm looking for a means to lessen the commercial, political, or social influence of the Jews. If it wasn't for the Jews, there'd be no gay pride parades. If it wasn't for the Jews, we wouldn't have little children saying they're the opposite gender of what they are. Wouldn't happen. Okay, that's what these people do. So yeah, anti-Semitism. You know, shout, get up on your roof and shout it loud and proud. You know, this is the problem. Now, if you go in and you, I went through some of this before, but you know, we have that was under well, anti-Semite is what I just read. See, anti-Semitism it says, but I guess so. I'm an anti-Semite because I said one who seeks political means or other to lessen the influence of the Jews. So was it anti-Semitism? Not etymologically restricted to anti-Jewish theories, actions, or policies, but most always used in this sense. Those who object to the inaccuracy of the term might try Hermann Alder's anti-Semitic. Okay, well, you got to go up to anti-Semite. But anyways, but what is Semitic? It's denoting the language group that includes Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Assyrian. What is a Semite? A Jew, an Arab, and most Arabs are Muslims. And that's your Jew-Muslim connection. Assyrian, Armenian, and that's who these people are. Semitism. Okay, what is Semitism? Because the other is anti-Semitism, so what is Semitism or anti-Semite? Semitism is Jewish influence in a society. It's that simple. So if you don't like the Jewish influence in your society, obviously you're anti-Semite or anti-Semitic or anti-Semitism, whatever you want. It's all the same shit. So, you know, stick it in your ear, Mr. Jew. Because you've been a bad, bad influence on the planet. You have been part and parcel involved in the killing of hundreds of millions of people. You've enslaved way too many people. You've stolen way too much from too many people. And you're basically a bunch of friggin' schemers and dreamers and tricksters and liars. And you know, you control our political system, our judicial systems, our banking systems. But that goes back to Rockefeller and some of the other tax-exempt foundations, which is basically own nothing and control everything. It's always about control. And if we don't control our own nations, then what the hell are we? Fools? Must be. But which takes me to, where did I see that story? Is this it here? There was a story about weed. I don't know if it's in this one or the other one. Let me go see if I can dig this out. There's a story about, it's been 90 years or whatever it has been since they, maybe it's in the other paper here, but this all leads back to the Jewish influence, I suppose. Let's back up one here and see what we got. Okay, can't this is your this is the CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, in Canada. The headline is Canada made marijuana illegal 94 years ago, and no one's sure why. Well, that's interesting. So, Canada made marijuana illegal 94 years ago, and no one is sure why. Canada became one of the first countries to ban a substance virtually no one was using. That's interesting. I have a picture of Reefer Madness up here and stuff. And so University of Guelph professor who penned a book on the history of illegal drugs in Canada says after nearly a century of marijuana prohibition, no one is really sure why it was made illegal in the first place. Well, this is a University of Guelph professor who penned a book, but no one's sure why marijuana or cannabis was banned. Bullshit. I don't know if it says, does it even give the name of this guy? I don't even see his name here. We'll have to see if it shows up. So you use these ambiguous terms. A University of Guelph professor who penned a book. Okay, now maybe this is who it is. Catherine Carstairs. Doesn't say that that's the professor, but her name shows up here. And it says a professor and chair of the history department at the University of Guelph. Oh, no, a professor and chair of history department at the University of Guelph. Carstairs is the author of the 206 book, Jailed for Possession. But it doesn't. Well, maybe this is the book. Who knows? She said there are two competing theories as to why lawmakers banned marijuana in Canada in 1923, but both remain little more than speculation because of a lack of historic evidence. Canada accidental trailblazer Carstairs believed marijuana was made illegal by government bureaucrats without much thought, who felt the drug was coming under increasing international scrutiny as a drug that one day need to be regulated. By 1922, a number of U.S. states and had already introduced legislation against the drug, and I think Canada was sort of following international guidelines, of which we're doing today under the UN. So to say that we are a sovereign nation is a crock of nonsense. We have been under international law for so freaking long, in this particular case, 90-some years, to say that we're a sovereign nation is just basically, well, we've been hoodwinked. Same thing with the United States, because we're member states. But we have been at this much, much longer than the United States, because the United States refused to sign on, not the United States, but America, the people refused to sign on to the League of Nations. Us, on the other hand, we've been players in the international for a very, very long time. So it's, you know, I think Canada was sort of following international guidelines and added marijuana to the schedule of restricted drugs without a great deal of debate, she said. There was no discussion of it in Parliament. There's almost nothing in the archive records about why they added marijuana. Probably the most plausible explanation is that it was under discussion at the internet level, she said. Excuse me. Carstairs adds that while federal law makers barely knew about the existence of pot, it wasn't something the average Canadian knew much about either. There was also almost no marijuana use in Canada at the time, she said. And it goes on, insanity, murder, and the black candle. The other theory is one favored by marijuana advocates who argued Canadian women's rights activist Emily Murphy created the war on drugs. Drug mentality in Canada by convincing federal lawmakers to ban marijuana through the arguments made in her book, The Black Candle, published in 22. The book is a racist, anti-immigration, anti-drug manifesto, which exaggerates the ill effects of marijuana as a cause of crime. The Black Candle repeated mainly the myths of marijuana that are in the film, Reefer Madness. You know, it argued that marijuana would lead to insanity and murder. What it makes, while it makes a good story, Carstairs argues there is very little evidence to support the theory. I really don't think that's one of the reasons marijuana became illegal. Murphy's book was really about opium, and the section on marijuana was just a very small piece at the end of the book. I don't think the chapter included, she included marijuana, attracted much attention. Canada's first anti-pot sweep, while Canada was one of the first countries. Was one of the first countries on the planet to make marijuana illegal. The law wasn't really enforced for the first decade of its existence. It wasn't until the 30s when Canada was put under pressure by the United States to enforce the rules that the RCMP actually fanned out across the country to stamp out cannabis. At the time, hemp was a common sight on farms across the country, where it often grew wild and was often used by farmers, not as a drug, but as a windbreak to protect crops to prevent soil erosion, according to Carstairs. While Canada was under pressure from the American neighbors to destroy marijuana, one Carville story suggests the rules weren't always enforced to the letter of the law. So the RCMP are going around to people's homes and saying, "You have hemp growing wild, we need to take it down." And at least one elderly woman just refuses, recount Carstairs. She's like, "This hemp makes my birds sing so sweetly, and I'm not going to cut it down. I insist that my birds have their pleasures." So the RCMP decided they weren't going to mess with her, and she was allowed to keep her hemp. Attitudes have changed. Now, almost a century after it was made illegal, the federal government is now poised to legalize. Okay, now, what's this all about? Right? What is this all about? It's about control. Simple as that. It's about control. And they mentioned opium, and that was the opium wars. Okay? In China, that. And it was about control. So, if you look at it, you know, here's one story about why it was banned, and that is because after Prohibition, this is kind of interesting, after Prohibition, that was running around, you know, hitting all the stills and all that stuff, once Prohibition was over, now what? In 1929, a man called Harry Anslinger was put in charge of the Department of Prohibition in Washington, D.C., but alcohol prohibition had been a disaster. Gangsters had taken over whole neighborhoods. Alcohol controlled by criminals had become even more poisonous. So alcohol prohibition finally ended, and Harry Anslinger was afraid. He found himself in charge of a huge government department bureaucracy with nothing to do. Up until then, he had said that cannabis was not a problem, doesn't harm people, he explained, and there's no more absurd fallacy than the idea that it makes people violent. But then suddenly, when his department needed a new purpose, he announced he had changed his mind. He explained to the public what would happen if you smoked cannabis. First, you will fall into a delirious rage, then you will be gripped by dreams of an erotic character, then you will lose the power of connected thought. Finally, you will reach the inevitable endpoint, insanity. Marijuana turns man into a wild beast. If marijuana bumped into Frankenstein monster on the stairs, Allinger warned, the monster would drop dead of fright. Harry Allinger became obsessed with one case in particular in Florida. A boy called Victor Lacta hacked his family to death with an axe. Allinger explained to America, this is what will happen when you smoke the demon weed. The case became notorious. The parents of the U.S. were terrified. What evidence did Harry Allinger have? It turns out, at this time, he wrote to 30 leading scientists, here we go with the scientists again, on this subject, asking if cannabis was dangerous if there should be a ban. 29 wrote back and said no. At least one. Whoops. Allinger picked out the one scientist who said yes and presented him to the world. The press, obsessed with Victor Latke's axe and cheered him on. In a panic that grabbed America, marijuana was banned. The U.S. told other countries that they have to do the same. Many countries said it was a dumb idea, and refused to do it. For example, Mexico decided the drug policy should be run by doctors, maybe? Their medical advice was that cannabis didn't cause these problems, and they refused to ban it. The U.S. was furious. Allinger ordered them to fall in line. The Mexican held out until, in the end, the U.S. cut off the supply of all legal painkillers to Mexico. People started to die in agony in their hospitals, so with regret, Mexico sacked the doctor and launched its own drug war. But at home, questions were being raised. A leading American doctor called Michael Ball wrote to Harry Allenslier, puzzled. He explained he had used cannabis as a medical student, and he had only made him sleepy. Maybe cannabis does drive a small number of people crazy, he said, but we need to fund some scientific studies to find out. Allinger wrote back firmly, the marijuana evil can no longer be temporized with, he explains, and he would fund no independent science then or ever. For years, the doctors kept approaching him with evidence he was wrong, and he began to snap, telling them they were treading on dangerous ground and should watch their mouths. Today, most of the world is still living with the ban on cannabis that Harry Allinger introduced in the nationwide panic that followed Victor Laika's killing spree. But there's a catch. Years later, somebody went and looked at the psychiatric files for Victor. It turns out there was no evidence he ever used cannabis. He had a lot of mental illness in his family. They had been told a year before he needed to be institutionalized, but they refused. The psychiatrist never even mentioned marijuana in connection to him. So does cannabis make people mad? Of course not. But this is the beauty of it. I mean, they do this all the time, right? If you do this and you look at climate change, it's the same horse shit. Absolutely the same crap. They always use templates. And because they own the media, they can jack people up and get them freaked out. Because, I mean, like at the beginning of that story, like, who even knew what the hell marijuana was? Not too many people. But it's all about control. Now, why do they want to control weed? I mean, here was this lady that had hemp growing. She told them to suck air and get off her property. Because their birds like that. They sing better when they're chewing on. So, anyways, it goes on to why they want to do this. But the ticket is that where'd that go? I'm actually going to just stick that in there. It's kind of a cool little story. Now, where? This just shows you everything's basically a fraud. We're the ones that get hurt by these frauds. We'd never hurt anybody, but their fraud hurt millions and millions and millions and millions of people. Now we'll find out, you know, well, even eggs, and even when they told you eggs and butter was bad for you, how many people got screwed over by taking these drugs? Oh, your cholesterol is high. You have to take all these drugs, all right? It's all get to have some more pharmaceuticals. Then they turn around and tell you later, well, we weren't quite right. Eggs and butter are actually good for you, but we've been trying to poison you. We had 30 years worth of poisoning you, eating margarine and fake eggs or whatever. But, you know, when you go back and you look, I lost where that sucker was. Where did that go? Damn. Where did I lose that at? Anyways, if I do dig it up again, I got so many links open, it's freaking nuts. Oh, here we go. Why is marijuana banned? Now you go back, and marijuana is criminalized in 1923. Why? Okay, why? Well, because you had the International Opium Convention. That's what started this crap. The International Opium Convention signed at The Hague in 1912. During the first International Opium Conference, it was the first international drug control treaty. It was registered in the League of Nations Treaty Series on January the 23rd, 1922. Okay, which coincides with the banning of weed in Canada. So the writer of the book knows exactly. Says, well, you know, it could be one of these or one of those. No, this is exactly why. Okay, exactly why. But being the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, you don't want people to go and read this shit. So you say, we really don't know why it was banned. Of course you know why it's banned, you lying dogs. But then you're university professors, so you're pushing the program. They're pushing the program now to get this legalized, right? Again, for control. Different sort of control, but still the same control. The same thing they did with the liquor. If you go and look in the liquor, they're actually poisoning the liquor, okay, and killed a bunch of people with poison liquor, and then, oh, we have to regulate the liquor, and only the government can regulate the liquor because we love you, and we're doing this for your safety. Did that same thing in the early 30s in the milk. They had poisoned milk houses, basically, beside the distillery. And a lot of people got sick from this garbage, and quite a few of them died. Well, we have to regulate this, i.e. control it, so we can put up marketing boards and this and that, of which everybody pays us. This is a Jew kind of tricksy kind of crap. They did the very same thing they did with the liquor, they did it with the milk. So you only drink government liquor and you only drink government milk. So we get to make a lot of money on it, we control it, and if you step outside of this and buy Jimmy's liquor, well, you and Jimmy's going to jail, of which we get paid for that on that end too. It's all about control, it's all about money. So why we have the first International Opium Conference? Now, this was the United States, Netherlands, China, Honduras, Norway. Let me see. Who was involved in this? It was the United States that convened a 13-nation conference on the International Opium Commission. Why? Why? Well, pharmaceuticals, maybe? I mean, opium, you could just grow it in your yard if you wanted. Grow some poppies. Oh, but it's dangerous. And they don't like competition. Government does not like competition. Right? It's the only, I mean, they have monopoly laws so that you can't run a monopoly unless, of course, it's the government running the monopoly. It's the phoniest damn thing on the planet. It's mafioso. So they come up with the story that is dangerous and we got to regulate it. Meanwhile, the players are going to make a shitload of money on it. And God forbid you should step outside of those regulations. You're screwed. And it is the same thing with weed. Now, why weed? Why hemp? Right? Well, and a lot of this has to do with Rockefeller, you know. I mean, these are the guys that set up the League of Nations. These are the guys that set up Israel and the United Nations. You know, and I don't know which, you know, Grandpa Rockefeller or whatever was a snake oil salesman, you know, selling these elixirs and stuff. And then they got in the oil business. Okay? Now, if you've got hemp, you got competition in oil business. Okay? Hemp rope was better than nylon rope at the time, and yada, 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 yada. So you have competition. You don't want competition. So they actually grouped cannabis in as a class one drug with opium. And this is why it's taken so long. I mean, everybody knows weed never hurt nobody, but so why are you still throwing people in jail? Well, because it's still in that convention. And what's going on now is, you know, all this grassroots nonsense of legalize weed. It's all a play on you fools. Just like it's always a play on you fools. Because it's still regulated as a class one drug like opium, and they never changed the classification of it at the United Nations level. It's still sitting in that early convention. So now this is the old NGO put the pressure from the bottom, and problem reaction solution. Now why do they want to legalize weed? Money and control. So you can buy government liquor, you can buy government milk, and now you can buy government weed, and you can buy government pharmaceuticals, but you can't use these natural products without going through us. And if you do attempt to do so, well, your sorry ass is going to be in jail, or we'll shoot your ass. Whichever day it is, whatever mood we're in that day. So now you have this big push. They have a problem. This is still class one. How are we going to do this? How are we going to get this out of here? Okay, then let's ramp up the NGOs, which is from the bottom, and the pressure from the top at this point, which is the scientific pressure. The medical marijuana scientific pressure. So you have the vice, you have the pressure from the top and the pressure from the bottom, and who the frig's in the middle? The politicians. So the scientists say it's medically good, and we don't see why we're throwing people in jail now, so we bring the two together, mix them up, and come up with some legislation, and there you go. Been using the same damn game forever. People keep getting suckered in by this, and we need to stop it. If you want to grow a plant, grow the damn plant. If you want to self-medicate with, I don't know, worm juice, fill your boots. You know, if you want to go and rub buttercups on your nose because it makes you feel better and it helps your hay fever, that's your business. These clowns at the government level, which aren't really government, it's all corporate crap, have no business in your business. Okay? You are not obliged in any way, shape, or form to put up with their nonsense, but we do because it all comes through the legislature, and it all comes out as what? Law? No. It comes out as color of law and the force of law. And the only way color of law works is with a threat to you. And people have the audacity to call this their government. Freaking brain dead. Anyways, I'm getting kind of ranty. So that's how this works, right? You can go look it up on the internet. I saw this actually. I was looking this stuff up a little while ago, and I'm just grabbing this the International Opium Convention through Wikipedia. But where I was looking at it was at the actual UN. Documents, not Wikipedia, but the Wikipedia is okay because it's got a lot of links. If you know what you're looking for, you got to go to the to the origin of it, though, which is the, in this case, the League of Nations. And then when you go through into the United Nations through the drug nonsense, it spells it out specifically what they're trying to do. And it's the old vice game. But it's problem, reaction, solution. Create a problem, and then create a reaction. And then the reaction will bring to the solution, which they already picked when they picked the problem. And they got what they want again. And we get stiffed one more time. Because just like the milk, and just like the whiskey, or the alcohol, or just like the drugs, you can get them, but it has to be government regulated. Now, Michael Schmidt's been fighting for 23 years. Had been beat on the head with that big stick all that time, but he ain't laying down. He knows right from wrong. Because they're telling him he can't distribute his milk or the milk that comes from his cows because it hasn't gone through their system and he's not part of their system, and therefore he can't do it. Now, he's been doing it for 25 years and they've been beating on for 23. He's absolutely correct. The same thing. If you want to grow a weed plant, go grow the damn thing. You don't need a license and you don't need their seed. They're saying to you that you can buy from us, it's going to cost you whatever, and we're going to regulate the producers, which means we're going to make a lot of money off of those guys. Then we're going to make a lot of money off the other end. But if you just try to bypass us, well, we're likely going to throw your ass in jail. It's the same thing with the weed now. I mean, they legalize the weed, okay, and I wouldn't smoke their, I really don't think I would want to be smoking their weed because there's too much good weed out there. Why would you go and buy government weed when you don't know what the hell they put in it? And it's not like you can trust them. But what the government is saying is you can buy our weed and pay the taxes on it. And if we caught you, buying Sammy or Sally's weed, well, we're still going to throw your ass in jail. Okay? Because you're cutting into what? Our business. It's all about business. Your government is a freaking corporation and it's about money, 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 control. And the courts, got to keep the courts full. Because it generates money. It wasn't so sad, it would be laughable. But this is just the way things go. Now, we got a couple minutes left, and I want to get to this story because this is a really, really, really important story. It's not about it's more important than the North Korea threat of, you know, annihilating the United Nations. It's even more important than that. Because this one's actually ongoing and the other one's never going to happen. This is so important. And that Yuri, it wasn't Brezhnev, whatever his name was, the KGB guy that came to Canada in the 70s, was warning everybody about what was going on, how they play it out, what the end result's going to be if we don't get our act together. And one of the things they warned us of was to never, ever, ever let a gay person get political power, which we have a lesbian premier. We have just down the road here, the mayor of the next town down is gay. We had the minister of health was gay. We have the environment and climate change guy is gay. And don't ever let a Muslim get into government either. So what used to be, even though it was criminal, this is really getting out of hand. No, this is a very important story. It is transgender candidates hope to break through in British Columbia vote. Four transgender women on the ballot for the May 9th election. The woman pushing a baby stroller in Vancouver Seawall wants to talk about housing, and BC NDP candidate Morgane Ogre is happy to oblige. The 42-year-old with a 2.5-year-old, and there's no way I can purchase a home, says the woman, repeating that Ogre calls a resounding theme in the downtown riding of Vancouver Falls Creek. Ogre reminds the voter of her party's campaign pledge to offer $400 rebate to renters, and the woman leaves happy. See, you just, that's why I'm not in politics. I may have to go into it, though. I'm going to have to go into it. But I was told that I had a brilliant future in politics. But I can just lie to all these people and not give a damn about what's even coming out of my mouth. Then I have a brilliant career in politics. But if I actually care about what's coming out of my mouth, I'm going to have a really sore tongue because I'd be biting it all the time. But anyways, for transgender candidate in the midst of what could turn out to be a history-making effort, Ogre says it's how people feel the parties will handle bread-and-butter issues such as housing that will determine the winner. Her identity as a transgender woman, she says, is a non-issue. The reality is, in this constituency, nobody cares if I'm transgendered. I have a very good reputation sorting out problems, yada, yada, yada. But the paper's referring them to these people as she's and hers. But they're guys. And this is what really irritates me. Born in France, earned a degree in mechanical engineering at UBC, and before moving back to Europe to work in the information technology, she fathered two children. Now, how could she father two children? I mean, this is how friggin' ludicrous this is getting. But then again, this is the Communist Broadcasting Corporation of Canada. But says she moved back to Canada in 2009. In part of the transition to becoming a woman. You cannot transition into a woman from a man. It is impossible. This is how ludicrous this is getting. And do I care what these people are? Not particularly. But I don't want them in my government because these are the people that are going to be making decisions for children and that. And we saw what happened in Ontario when the head policy advisor under Kathleen Wynne in education turns out to be a pedophile. That's the problem, and we can't have that. Anyway, they're going to stick this story in, and you can read it because I think we're out of time. That went really fast. Stupid computer. Paste. So if you want to look at the beautiful men who transform themselves into women and see how beautiful these women are, they're not, by the way. In fact, they all look like men dressed up as women. Wait a minute, that's... take care, buddy.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from war, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they master cocaine. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to Youth Live at TV.